Join me in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, your word says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the word of God is living. Lord, it says that it is active and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating and dividing soul and spirit. Lord, I pray today that as we study your word, as we have just sung how much we need you, that Lord, we would say today that we need to hear from you. And so, Lord, may you speak to us through your word. May your word today be living, may it be active, and may it penetrate our hearts. That when we leave this place, that we know that we've heard from you. For it's in your name I pray. Amen. This morning, as we begin, I want to just kind of remind us of where we've been the last several weeks. If you've been with us, this is a little bit of a review, but just want to remind you that on that first Sunday of January, January the 2nd, 2022, we talked about, as we began the new year, that God designed us to glorify Him. Do you believe that today? We've been designed by the living God to glorify Him, to magnify Him in every situation, every conversation, every circumstance of life. That 1 Corinthians 10:31 says that whether you eat or drink or really whatever it is you do, do it all for the glory of God. And so as we began this new year, we were reminded that God created us and designed us to glorify Him and to magnify Him at all times throughout our lives. And then last Sunday, we talked about this wonderful truth. And by the way, I just want to thank so many of you that emailed or texted, and obviously it was a word that we needed to hear last week, a word that was comforting, a word that was encouraging. But we were reminded last week, as a child of God, that through faith, God loves us and, by the way, is pleased with us. In other words, God's love for us, God's pleasure in us, is not dependent upon how well we obey Him. Bo, God's love for you, God's pleasure in you, is not dependent upon how well you do here leading worship for us. And are you thankful for that, by the way, today, that God's pleasure and love for you is not dependent upon how well you do? Are you thankful for that today? Many of you shared last week on Sunday and throughout the week just how much you needed to hear that, to be reminded that as a child of God, that God loves you and that He's that His pleasure is found in you. And so what I want to do today is I want to kind of go back to that truth, and I just want to show you visually kind of what we learned last Sunday. And to do that, I want to just remind us that we have sin in our lives. By the way, how many of you would say today that you have sinned against the living God? How many of you would admit that? Okay? The reality is, we all know this to be true, that there is sin in our life. There are times that we gossip. There are times that we lie. There are times that we have lustful thoughts in our hearts. And in fact, there's all kinds of sin in our life to the degree that the Bible tells us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so the reality for us is that our lives are full of sin. Would you guys agree with this? How many of you would say that maybe, Pastor, you need more of those, because really in my life they're kind of out overflowing the edges? Yeah. So Scripture tells us that we've all sinned. But here's the wonderful thing, that the Bible says that when we put our faith in God, when we trust our lives to Jesus Christ, when we acknowledge that we are sinners, when we understand that Jesus has died on the cross for our sins, the Bible says that when we put our faith in God, that our sins are forgiven. Are you thankful for that? And so what happens is, when we confess our sins, that He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if you're thankful today that your sin is forgiven, would you say amen? Amen. This is an amazing thought. Do you deserve the forgiveness of God? Have you earned it? It's really amazing to really think about how much God loves us in Christ. That all of the lies, all of the gossip, all of the lust, all of the sin that we have committed, that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, our sin is forgiven and removed as far as the east is from the west. But here's what's really amazing. Turn with me this morning to Romans chapter 3. Not only is our sin forgiven, but notice what it says in Romans chapter 3. It says, but now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So here's what I want you to understand this morning. As we go back to last week and are reminded that as children of God, that God loves us and God is pleased in us, that the Bible says here in Romans and many other places that when we put our faith in Christ, not only is our sin forgiven, but even more so, we receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Your life in Christ, God does not see your sin. It's gone. It's removed. But in Christ, even as we just read, that through faith, there is a righteousness that is from God that is deposited into our account, into our life. And so our lives are filled with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And because of the righteousness of Christ, God loves us and God is pleased in us. And you see, this has nothing to do, Bo, with how well you lead worship. This has nothing to do with how well I preach. This has nothing to do with how well you obey God. When you put your faith in Jesus, your sin is removed and the righteousness of Jesus is yours. And if you're thankful for that, say amen. It really is comforting. It really gives us a peace that transcends understanding, a hope, an eternal hope, to know that when we trust Jesus, when we put our faith in Jesus, that we receive the righteousness of Christ and our position before a holy God changes. His understanding and perspective and love of who we are changes in Christ because we possess a righteousness that is from God and through faith. And so last week, we saw this truth. Last week, we understood that as a child of God that God loves us and is pleased with us. And again, many of you said, Pastor, thank you for that message. I needed to hear that. But here's what I want to do today. I want us to not focus on a life that is filled with the righteousness of Christ, but I want to go back and talk about a life. By the way, these will be up here at the end of the service if you want any. M&Ms. But I want to talk today about a life that is full of sin. You see, last Sunday we were all encouraged, or many of us were encouraged to know that when we put our faith in Christ, that God loves us, and that He's pleased with us. This morning, what about those who have not yet put their faith in Jesus? What about those whose lives still have sin? What does the Bible say about someone whose life is full of sin? I do want you to know this morning that Scripture is clear. The last several weeks in men's Bible study, we've been studying 1 Peter chapter 3. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, there's a passage of Scripture that talks about Jesus preaching to the spirits that are in prison who disobeyed long ago in the days of Noah. It's in 1 Peter chapter 3. And honestly, that passage of Scripture is hard to understand. There are many interpretations. Some would say that after Jesus was crucified, that Jesus descended down into hell and preached to those who were in hell. Some would say, no, that what Peter's saying is that the Spirit of the living God was preaching through Noah in the days of Noah to those that were disobedient. In other words, that passage of Scripture is not clear. And one of the things that I shared with our men over the last several weeks is that you interpret Scripture by Scripture. That when you have trouble understanding a particular passage, you use the rest of the Word of God to help you to understand. Well, as we think today about a life that is full of sin, let me just say this. The Bible is clear. There is not a difficulty of interpretation today trying to understand what the Bible says about someone who is not a child of God. There's not any confusion about what the Bible says about someone who has not trusted their life to Jesus. And so I want to make sure that we understand this morning collectively, what does the Bible say about someone whose life is full of sin? If you're taking notes, I'm going to share seven things with you this morning. And the first is this, that if someone still has sin in their life that has not been forgiven by God, the Bible says that they are spiritually dead. Ephesians 2:1, you know this passage, I teach on it often, says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. We need to understand that when there is sin in our life and before we place our faith in Jesus, the Bible says that we are dead in our sins. Now, physically we are alive, physically we are living our lives, and yet spiritually we are dead. Our hearts are hearts of stone, and in terms of spiritual matters, we are dead. And you've seen Austin and Ashton lay up here time and time again, reminding us of this truth. So for someone who has not embraced Jesus as Savior, the Bible says they are spiritually dead. And you may say, well, Pastor, I'm not really sure I understand. Well, let me put it to you like this. When we sing songs of worship, are your hearts stirred? Yes or no? When you sing the truths of God's Word, are your hearts not stirred? The answer is, of course they are. When you hear the Word of God, when you hear the Word of God, it stirs you, it teaches you, it convicts you, it guides you, it helps you to understand things in your life. In other words, when you hear the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, if you are alive, when you hear the Word of God, it makes sense to you and you think about it and you act upon it. Someone whose life is full of sin, they're dead. They don't feel anything when we sing songs of worship. They don't hear anything that applies to them when the Word is taught, when the Word of God is preached. Yes, they are alive physically, but spiritually, the Bible says, they are dead. Number two, someone whose life is full of sin, the Bible says they are separated from God. Notice what it says in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul says, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. So not only does the Bible say that when you still have sin, not only does the Bible say that you are dead spiritually, the Bible actually says you are separated from the living God. Those of you that have been in my office, whether it be for yourself or a child, and I've drawn the picture of the gospel, I draw a picture to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ, and one of the things that I do in that drawing is I talk about the holiness of God. And because God is holy, God is set apart from all sin. And what is it that we have in our lives? Sin. And we talk about in that time that I talk about the gospel that because of sin, we must be separated from a holy God. God is holy, and He can have nothing to do with sin. He is not able to sin, nor does He sin, and He can't have anything to do with the sin that is in our life. And so in Ephesians, Paul makes it clear that not only are we darkened in our understanding, but we are separated from the life of God. Separated from your Creator. Separated from your Savior. Separated from the God who loves you. But not only are we dead spiritually, not only are we separated from God, but number three, the Bible says that we are even hostile to God. Romans 8:7, the mind governed by the flesh, the mind that is full of sin, the life that is full of sin is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Have you ever had someone that was hostile to you? Have you ever had someone who didn't really like you or thought you had done something wrong to them, to somebody in their family, and they were angry with you and they were hostile towards you? Today, my Dallas Cowboys are going to beat the 49ers. Right, Brandon? Right, Jim? I saw that. Okay. All of you that are Texans fans, I'm sorry, you'll have to wait till next year to see your team play. I'm just saying. But I'm gonna make a prediction that as we watch the game this afternoon, that you're not gonna see Cowboys and 49ers hugging each other and giving each other high fives today. In fact, it's probably going to be the opposite. There's going to be some hostility, words exchanged, maybe even blows exchanged, as sadly we see today. This is kind of something I don't want us just to gloss over, but the Bible says that when we have sin in our lives, that we are actually hostile to God. I don't want to do that. I don't agree. I mean, whatever that hostility is based on, the Bible says that we are hostile to the living God that created us and sent His Son to die for us, that we don't like Him. Not only are we separated from Him, there's a hostility. And number four, not only is there a hostility, and not only are we separated from God, but the Bible even says that we are God's enemy. Notice what it says in Romans 5:10, "For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son." We need to understand this morning that in our sin, we are dead spiritually. We are separated from the living God. We are hostile to God, even so much so that hostility, we are actually enemies of the living God. Have you ever thought about that reality? That there was a time maybe in your life that in sin, you are actually an enemy of the living God. But even more serious, maybe the fact that not only are we God's enemy, but in sin we are actually objects of God's wrath. Notice what it says. Ephesians 2:3, all of us sinners lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts, and like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. We were by nature objects of wrath. I want you to think about this. The Bible says that because of our sin, that we are objects of the wrath of God. Ashton, are you scared of me? Sometimes. You know, we have a little bit of understanding, a little bit, because we all are sons and daughters. We have a father, a mother, or someone who is responsible for our life. And I would hope that there's at least a respect that my son has for me, if not a little bit of fear. And yet, the Bible says that we are, in our sin, objects of wrath. And you may not think, well, that's, what's the big deal? Do you know that the living God said, let there be light? And light came into existence. Do you understand the power of the living God? It's beyond our comprehension. It's beyond our understanding. And yet, in our sin, it says that we are actually an object that is deserving of wrath. There will be a day, if you are still in your sin, that you will give an account of the sin that's in your life, and the wrath of God will be poured out upon you. And that will be a terrifying day. The Bible says that all of us, at one time, were objects of His wrath. Then number six, the Bible says that we are also enslaved to our sin. John chapter 8, 34, Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." I think Paul said it best in many ways when Paul said, I don't understand the things that I do. The things that I want to do, I don't do those. And the things that I hate, that's what I find myself doing. We are enslaved to our sinful nature. We are enslaved to our appetites. And we have this continual desire for more and more and more. So yes, we are spiritually dead. Yes, we are separated from God. We are even hostile to God, and we stand as an enemy of God, and we stand under His wrath, and we are enslaved to the sin that we enjoy, not knowing how serious it is. And then finally, number seven, the Bible says that in our sin, we are actually blinded to the truth. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the person without the Spirit, the person who is in their sin, the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. When you don't have the Spirit and your life is full of sin, the things of God are foolishness to you. You are blinded to the things of God. When worship songs are sung, there's no understanding, there's no life, there's no joy, there's no desire to raise your hands in worship. You cannot understand the things of God. Seven descriptions about a life that is in sin, a life that has not embraced Jesus as Lord and Savior. In our sin, we are dead. In our sin, we are separated from God. In our sin, we are hostile to God. We are His enemy. We stand as an object of His wrath. We are enslaved by sin, and we are blinded to the truth. In Hebrews, the Bible says, every single life. Whether that life is full of sin or that life is filled with the righteousness of Christ, that every single life is appointed to die. And then the Bible says, then the judgment. There is a day that is coming when everyone will be judged. Andrew, if you'll put Revelation 20. Then I saw a great white throne, and I saw him who was seated on it. And the earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. Every one of us, every one of us will stand before the throne. And books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done as recorded in the books. Now, let's just stop right here. If your life is full of sin, then you will be judged for this sin. You will be judged for this sin. You will be judged for this sin. You will be judged for every single sin in your life. But if you are in Christ, what happened to your sin? It's gone. And you will stand before God, not in sin, but in the white M&Ms. You will stand before God with the righteousness of Jesus. Are you thankful for that today? Scripture goes on, the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Because I put my faith in Jesus, I am not going to be judged according to my sin. I'm going to be judged according to the righteousness of Jesus. Then it says, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire, and the lake of fire is the second death. Now watch this. And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. There is a day that is coming where all of us will stand before the judgment seat of God. And you will either stand before God in your sin, or you will stand before God in the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. And the Bible says those that are in their sin, whose names are not written in the book of life, will be thrown into the lake of fire. You see, last week, we were encouraged and reminded of the beauty and the truth that in faith and through faith, that God loves us and is pleased with us. But that doesn't apply to everyone. And I think it's a reality that we need to hear today. That God is not pleased with everyone. And so I would ask this morning, are you still in your sin? I think it's sad. And I think that God is not pleased that we don't preach the whole counsel of His Scripture. Amen. I know today's message is a little heavy. Today's message is not easy to hear. Today's message doesn't draw the crowds. But we need to hear the entire truth of God's Word. Amen. So God is not pleased with someone who is still in their sin. And there is a day of judgment that is coming that we will all face. But I want to share with you one of the most beautiful truths of Scripture found in Romans 5:8. It says, "But God demonstrated His love for us, and that while we were still sinners," what? "Christ died for us." Do you know what's an amazing thought? God loves us even in our sin. Does God have to love us in our sin? What do we deserve? We deserve judgment. We deserve eternal judgment. But God demonstrated His love. The gospel is so amazing that even in our sin, our lies, our lust, even in our sin, God sent Jesus to die for us. And what does Jesus say? He says, "For God what? So loved what? The world. That He sent His one and only Son, that whoever what? Believes would not what? Perish, but have eternal life." The good news of the gospel is right here. We're all sinners. We're all dead. We're all separated. We're all hostile. We're all enemies. We're all darkened in our understanding. All of the things that we've learned, that's us. And yet God sent His Son to die for us. And all we have to do is believe. All we have to do is put our faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins, and our sin is forgiven and removed as far as the east is from the west, and the righteousness of Christ is ours through faith. Amen? And so if you are here today, and listen, I want to be really clear today. Even if you were baptized as a child, I want you to understand that maybe you went through a motion, maybe you went through a ritual, and you've never really confessed your sin and asked God to forgive you. So this applies to all of us, but I want to ask you today, are you still in your sin? And if you are still in your sin, I want to ask you today to choose Jesus and put your faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Amen? And don't just assume, because we see in Scripture the road is narrow that leads to life. And what does it say? Few will find it. And we see examples of those that stand before the judgment and say, "But God, I did this. God, I did this. God, I did this. God, I did this." And what happens? They hear, "Depart from me. I never knew you." God loves you. so much that He sent His one and His only Son to die as a payment for your sin. That whoever, it doesn't matter what sin, it doesn't matter how many times, it doesn't matter how many gospel messages you've rejected, it says whoever would believe will not perish, will not be thrown into the lake of fire, but will receive eternal life. And so my question for you today is simply this: are you still in your sin? And if you are, the call today is to believe, to put your faith in Jesus Christ. For those of us this morning that are children of God, and you have the righteousness of Jesus inside, your sin is removed as far as the east is from the west. This doesn't apply to you. Let me ask you this. How many of you know someone who is still in their sin? Raise your hands. Last week's message brought comfort. Today's message should alarm us. Jesus Christ could return at any time. And if He does, we will stand before His throne and be judged. If you're a child of God, God has called you to be a witness. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of this earth. If you're a child of God, God's called you to be a disciple maker. To go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. God has called you as a child of God to be His ambassador, to do exactly what I'm doing right now in presenting the truth of God to someone who is still in their sin. Andrew, will you put up our last verse? This is my prayer for us today. My prayer is that Christ's love would compel us. Christ's love would compel us because we are convinced that one died. Are you convinced today that Jesus died for sin? Are you convinced of that? Because we're convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. Listen, Jesus died for me, and I'm convinced of that. And it's His love that compels me to go and to share with those who are still in their sin that Jesus died for them, and that compels me to live for the one who died for me. And my prayer for you today is that if you don't know Jesus, that you would accept Him as Lord and Savior. And if you do know Jesus and your sin is gone and the righteousness of Jesus is yours, I pray you would be compelled because you're convinced that Jesus died for you and those that you know and those that you love that don't know Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the beauty of your word that is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. And Lord, I'm so thankful that it does speak to us, that it does penetrate our hearts. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, whether there's somebody in this sanctuary or somebody watching on television or somebody on the internet watching the live stream, that, Lord, if there is anybody that is listening to the sound of my voice today and they do not know you, that they have not confessed their sin and through faith received the forgiveness that is for them in Christ, that, Lord, today may be the day of salvation, Lord, that they trust you and they trust your name. Lord, open their eyes to your love. Lord, help them to see the seriousness of their sin. Help them to understand their eternal condition. And Lord, may they understand that you love them so much that you sent your Son to die for their sin. Lord, help them today, I pray. And Lord, for those of us that are here today, those of us that are children of the living God who are loved by God and who God is pleased with because of the righteousness of Christ, may you compel us like never before to be your witnesses, to be disciple makers, to be your ambassadors. Lord, to those we know, those we love, those that are in our families, Lord, those that live in our neighborhoods, Lord, our co-workers, may you compel us to share the love of Christ with those who don't know it. And so, Lord, may you work today in powerful ways through your word, for it's in your name I pray. Amen. Lord, as we stand this morning, our altar will be open. And I just want to call this morning, go ahead and stand this morning. I want to make a call to Christ. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't be embarrassed. All of us in this room are sinners. If you have questions, if you don't understand, please, with the leadership of the Holy Spirit, come forward this morning and talk to me as pastor. Brad will be here. We'll be here to minister to you. And if you're a child of God this morning and there's someone that you're thinking about that you know they don't know Jesus, I invite you to come and pray for them here at the altar. Come and grab me and say, Pastor, will you pray with me over so-and-so? And let's call upon the name of the living God to bring salvation to those who are still in their sin as we sing this morning.